When our son was 5, we decided to sell our first house and move closer to the office where I worked. But the septic system had failed. I'll spare you the unpleasant details of exactly how I knew that. To sell a property in Massachusetts, Title V regulation requires a functioning septic system or a municipal sewer hookup. The first step was calling the town and requesting a soil percolation test. A licensed inspector with a clipboard and stopwatch came out. With him was a guy holding a shovel and a bucket who requested a watering hose. He filled the bucket, did the digging, then poured the water. The inspector tracked the drainage time. My backyard failed the test. The inspector said a new leaching field would require removing the 24-foot above-ground pool, along with a very large tree. The backyard would be left with a huge mound and a vent pipe. The estimated cost would be at least $25,000, which is equivalent to $50,000 today. My initial thought was that, in addition to the cost of a new septic system and leaching field, the backyard would make the property very difficult to sell, even at a significant financial loss. During the recession of the early 90s, the house had just missed falling into negative equity. For the moment, it seemed to me the best thing to do was get a new septic system, stay in the house, and continue to endure my long and often difficult commute. But wait, the inspector said a sewer extension would be coming to the street the following year. The town wanted everybody to connect to the new system. Would I be willing to delay putting my house in the market and keep the septic tank pumped out as often as necessary until a new sewer line came to my street? Absolutely yes. He tore up the paperwork for the inspection and said, I was never here. I was good at guessing when it was time for the septic tank to be pumped out. The situation being what it was, for the next year I usually kept the cover of the tank exposed. Fortunately, the washing machine had a dedicated dry well. Without the dry well, the tank would have needed pumping much more frequently. About a year after failing the percolation test, as the town inspector had promised, lines were spray-painted on the street for the sewer. By that time, we were actively looking for a house in another town. We weren't having any luck finding something in our price range. Then, during lunch one day at work, a friend and colleague came up to the cafeteria table, and instead of joining us, he said, "Come on, there's a house I want you to see." His neighbors across the street were putting their house on the market. It was perfect for what my wife and I wanted and needed. I called the real estate agency and made sure that weekend's open house on the property was canceled. While I was dealing with all of that, there was suddenly an emergency. I was told that my mother was near death. I stopped everything and rushed out to Phoenix, where Mom's doctor had given up on her. The family was told to prepare for the end. But Mom was saved, thanks to the arrival and intervention of two of my sisters, a medical doctor and a registered nurse. Mom lived for another 7 years. Returning home that summer, I wanted to accommodate the house sellers who would ask if they could stay for 2 weeks after the closing. My lawyer said that would require rent to be paid, and we agreed on a token amount. The buyers of the house I was selling agreed to the closing date, and the mortgage loan application clearly stated that I would need to own both houses for 2 weeks. Not being the trusting sort myself, I called the underwriter at my bank regularly to confirm that everything was okay, but I never heard back from her. The bank was Bank Boston, later acquired by Fleet, which was in turn taken over by Bank of America. If the overlapping ownership had been rejected at the outset, I would have told the seller, "Sorry, the bank won't let me do it." But I heard nothing from the underwriter. So finally, I demanded to speak with her boss. When at last I received a return call, I was astounded to hear it was too late for them to approve that particular condition. The delay was their fault, but nonetheless, they would not write me a mortgage. The underwriter's boss admitted that money wasn't the problem, as I easily had that covered for 2 weeks. But he said Washington Mutual had to approve the conditions of the mortgage, and that was why there wasn't enough time for them to work through the process. I thought I was dealing with Bank Boston and not Washington Mutual, but the mortgage had already been slated for sale to WaMu. Very distinctly, I remember my heart pounding and yelling at the guy on the phone, "You're leaving me with no options." His brusque reply was, "There's nothing I can do. Goodbye." In desperation, I turned to the founder of my employer for help. I explained the situation and asked if I could sell back the shares of private company stock I had purchased. He said there was no need for me to do that. Having once been screwed over by a Boston bank himself in the company's early years, with a smile, he said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to fuck 'em." The CEO explained to the CFO that he would loan me the money personally to pay off the mortgage on the house I was selling, and he wanted the CFO to contact the bank on my behalf. After I provided all of the mortgage details, the CFO handed me a standard short-term loan contract, and then she called someone at Bank Boston. I don't know who that certain someone was the CFO called, or what was said, but after sitting anxiously for a while, I was paged to pick up a call. It was the underwriter boss at Bank Boston. This time, he was yelling at me. "What the hell did you do?" "Hey, I told you I needed an option." "You have no idea what's going on here." "Oh, I can imagine. I have been instructed to tell you that we agree to all terms. Goodbye." I can't imagine any other company where the CEO and the CFO would stop everything on a busy workday and go to bat to such an extent for one employee. Once everything was set for the closing on the purchase, I told the real estate agent, a major developer, what had happened. He said, "I've been doing this for a long time." Then, with a bemused chuckle, his take on what I had done was, "You know, you probably got them fired." "Hey, my boss did say we were going to fuck 'em." Assuming the underwriter and her boss were fired, I can't say I have ever felt sorry about the outcome. Bank Boston did indeed sell the mortgage, and my loan payments went to WaMu until I refinanced a 15-year, 5% mortgage with a local bank. The irony is that after George W. Bush became president a couple of years later, Washington Mutual dropped all of its underwriting requirements and was one of the worst culprits in the subprime mortgage mess. It went bankrupt 10 years after making my life miserable when the financial crisis hit in September 2008. Thanks to the intervention of my employer, the closing went through for the purchase of my present house, with only one more snag in the process. The lawyer had to fix a problem he had found with the original filing of the deed in land court. It was in my favor, however, adding a nice chunk of woods to the back of the property. Now, back to the sale of my first house with the failed septic system. We spent the next year keeping our water usage as low as possible and the septic tank pumped out. I was relieved to receive a bill from the town for an $800 betterment fee, equivalent to $1,600 today, because that made everything official. The fee was mandatory for every property owner who was eligible for a sewer hookup, whether or not they chose to connect. I attended a town meeting about the sewer project where people complained about having to pay the one-time charge, regardless of their need or interest in no longer needing to buy Ridex. Having a flashback to the many city council and school committee meetings I'd attended as a radio reporter, I stood up and did what I couldn't do as a reporter. I stated an opinion. I said, "The sewer is good for our property values. My septic system has failed, and connecting to the sewer will cost one-tenth of what it would be to replace it. Many houses in town with septic systems date back, like mine, to the 1950s. Eventually, they'll all fail. $800 can be a lot to pay all at once. But they say you can pay $200 quarterly with your property tax bills. We need to do this." It was my George Bailey moment. What I didn't say was that we were selling and leaving. Longtime friends who lived in town called to say they had seen my little speech on cable TV. Our friends were comfortable living there, but we weren't a good fit, at least not for our neighborhood. I paid the $800 betterment fee to the town and signed up for the coming sewer service. Huge concrete forms were dropped off along the street, including some that were placed in our front yard. Hoping very much the sewer connection could be completed before closing on the sale of the house, I contacted one of the contractors who was authorized to do the work. He came to the house, saw what he would need to do, and he quoted a more than reasonable price of $2,400. As I recall, the deposit was only $600. While I was doing that, my wife looked for a real estate agent. The first one she talked to wanted to list the house for what seemed like a low-ball offer from a potential buyer, not a real estate agent trying to make the largest possible commission. Another realtor, who we did hire, told us the other agent's sister lived in the house behind ours. Ah, the lady was trying to arrange a shady deal for herself. I should have reported her, but I didn't. There was too much going on, in addition to my job, to bother with that. The concrete forms were still there when the agent held the Sunday open house. She saw them as a selling point. Overnight, a powerful storm had dumped a significant amount of rain on the town. When the agent arrived, I told her there was some water under the oil tank in the basement that I had to mop up. She was relieved, because she told us the other houses being shown that day in our price range all had flooded basements. During the open house, we were killing time at a museum when the agent called my wife's cell phone. It was one of those huge Motorola analog cell phones that weighed a pound. There were two offers. One was for asking price. The other was for $500 above asking price. When we met with the agent later, I asked her what she was able to learn about the people who had made the two competing offers. She handed us a nicely written letter from the couple who were offering the extra $500. They were young professionals who were hoping to start a family. The offer for asking price was from a couple who already had two small children. The husband was a truck driver with a tile contracting business on the side. I accepted their offer. The agent said she'd never before had a client turn down an offer for more money, even a small amount like $500. The thing to do was ask if they would match it. I explained to her that I simply felt the couple with children would be a better fit for the neighborhood. Also, I liked the idea of the kids playing in the backyard. I'd put a lot of work and money into making the backyard nice for us, and that was another reason why I didn't want a new leaching field that would require the removal of the above-ground pool and leave a huge mound with a vent stack. So everything was in motion. My mother made it through her medical crisis. I was going to buy a house while not yet knowing about the bank's underwriting screw-up. And there was a contract to purchase my house. It was a great week when the street was dug up and all of the concrete forms were buried underground. It then became a matter of how much of a delay there would be before the town gave the okay for the sewer hookup. Based on the timetable I had from the town, the sewer line was supposed to be ready in time for the connection to be completed before passing papers. I became concerned when that date began to slip. Then I was told the engineers had decided the lines needed more time to settle underground before they'd be ready for use. Arg. I had to tell our real estate agent the house couldn't connect to the sewer service until after the sale had been completed. She informed the buyers, who I'll call the Smiths. They knew there was a chance that would happen, but I really wanted to go to that closing with everything already done. The meeting was held at the office of the attorney who was hired by the bank writing the mortgage for the Smiths. My wife and I were there with our real estate agent. We immediately liked Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The same cannot be said of the attorney their lender was using. She had the same last name as the first mate on a boat that gave three-hour tours. Getting down to business, I explained the situation. The town expected the sewer would be ready for connection in about a month. I'd hired a licensed contractor to remove the septic tank and connect the house to the new sewer system. I would put plenty of money into escrow to cover not only the balance of the contractor's fee, but the cost of pumping the septic tank if the Smiths needed to do that. The attorney turned to Mr. and Mrs. Smith and said, in a very snide tone, "You're screwed." My wife and I were dumbfounded. Not only was the lawyer being unprofessional and insulting, the fact was that nobody was being screwed. Our agent immediately spoke up in our defense. She told the lawyer that I had done everything possible to have the sewer work completed ahead of time, but it was entirely out of my control. Then she revealed there had been another offer on the property for more money, without saying how much. My unprecedented gesture of accepting less money without asking for a counteroffer was news to the Smiths. After that bizarre upset, we continued with signing the papers. We agreed on an amount to be held in escrow by the attorney, and I wrote a check for $500 above that amount. We left the meeting feeling good about the Smith family, but with the lawyer's rudeness leaving a bitter aftertaste. It was a very hot mid-August. Driving home on the highway, the radiator on my 1989 Honda Civic completely blew out. We had to drive to our new home with the heat in the car turned up full blast. We were finally able to start getting settled. After one of the most challenging summers of my life, at least until last year's cancer treatments. When selling our place, I made a point of giving our new phone number to the Smiths in case they had any questions or problems. A few months later, my wife called me at work. Mrs. Smith had called, and she was quite upset. There was a problem. I called Mrs. Smith, and the story wasn't at all what I feared it would be. As expected, about a month after the closing, the town had given the okay for sewer connections on the street. Mr. Smith had contacted the contractor, who set up a date with the town. He pumped out the septic tank, destroyed it, then did all of the digging and pipe work. There were no problems with putting the house online with the sewer. What a relief it was hearing that! There was a plot twist that was actually very gratifying to hear. Mrs. Smith had become instant best friends with the woman next door. I was so pleased having confirmation that I was right about the Smiths being right for the neighborhood. Icing on the cake was that, unknown to me, the contractor's daughter was that neighbor. Such good news! So, what was the problem? The lawyer was the problem. She wasn't releasing the escrow money to pay the balance of the contractor's fee. The Smiths had called the lawyer's office multiple times, providing all of the required information, but nothing was happening. Their calls weren't being returned, the contractor wasn't getting paid, and he was talking about needing to put a lien on the property. I was furious. Now, legally, responsibility for connecting the house to the town sewer and paying for it had undoubtedly passed on to the Smiths. But my name was the one on that contract, and it was my money being held in escrow by the attorney. So I felt responsible. I told Mrs. Smith to not worry and that I would take care of everything. Next, I called the contractor. He said he had also left several messages at the lawyer's office without receiving a reply. He knew his daughter had made friends with Mrs. Smith, and so he felt badly about threatening to place a lien on the property, but payment was more than 30 days overdue. I told him I'd get a bank check for payment in full, and he'd see me in an hour. After getting the check, I drove up to the contractor's office, and he made out a receipt. I used his fax machine to send it to the lawyer's office. The cover sheet had a scribbled note demanding that my escrow money be reimbursed upon demand. I called the lawyer's office, telling the woman who answered the phone to look for the fax, and that I was on my way there, and I was not happy. First, I stopped by the house to give Mrs. Smith a copy of the receipt. It was a bit strange being at the house again after a few months and seeing somebody else living there. Mrs. Smith thanked me, we chatted briefly, and I was on my way. So far, everything else with the house was okay. After the near catastrophe caused by Bank Boston's underwriting failure on the house I bought, I wasn't going to tolerate more professional incompetence. With business screw-ups like those, I am not a nice guy. You wouldn't want to even be around me, let alone be on the receiving end. I couldn't see it being an honest oversight by the lawyer. It sure seemed she was stalling. Had she used the money to pay bills? Did she mingle it with other funds for a short-term investment? Was she gambling? I had no way of knowing. When I got to the lawyer's office, I made my presence known, loudly. I didn't care what the lawyer was doing or who she was with. I demanded to see her immediately. She stepped out from her office to find out what the commotion was about. I read her the proverbial riot act. My wife and I resented your insulting crack about the Smiths being screwed. Who's screwing them now? Why haven't you returned their calls? Aren't you curious why the contractor has been leaving messages? He threatened to put a lien on the property. I've paid the bill myself, in full, and you have the receipt. Who's the one looking after the Smiths' best interests now? I am. She tried to sound firm with her weak comeback of, "Well, we're very busy here," but I cut her off. So, you must not be adequately serving any of your clients. With my fury receding, I took a quick read of the room. The lawyer had three women working for her, and I could see they were suppressing smiles from witnessing their boss getting chewed out. The lawyer herself was looking nervous and perhaps even a little bit scared. I took a breath, settled down, and prepared to leave. I demanded a cashier's check for the full amount in my escrow account be delivered to me the next day via FedEx. I was told it was too late for the next day delivery, but I'd have it the day after tomorrow. It was late in the day, and I reluctantly agreed. A check was delivered as promised, and I was done with the whole mess that had begun almost 2 years earlier when I first noticed the problem with the septic system. And so ended the sewer saga.